May I speak and may you discern in the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Amen. I find it painful to see our country in such a shambolic mess. Some believe that the outcome of the referendum was determined by voters who wanted to limit immigration and restore formal legal sovereignty and democratic self-government. In other words, and to repeat the all too familiar mantra, to take back control. Many have argued that if the outcome had been determined by our economic best interests, we would stay in the European Union. A Guardian columnist wrote that it's the truth that dare not speak its name, silenced by the veto claim that the people have spoken. Undeniably, we are in uncharted territory. But today's gospel helpfully provides a Christian interpretation of both sovereignty and truth. Sovereignty is at the heart of our prayer life, God's sovereignty. How many times have we prayed, "Thy kingdom come"? Not only is the concept of God's sovereignty tightly woven into the fabric of our faith, from the earliest days of the infant persecuted church, the crucified and risen Jesus of Nazareth was given the title King of Kings. Even before Jesus is born, the angel Gabriel informs Mary that her soon-to-be-born child will receive from God the throne of his ancestor David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Later, the three magi ask, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" Fast forward a lifetime, and as Jesus enters Jerusalem for the last time, the people gather in the streets and see him as the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah. "Behold, your king is coming." The crowds shout with reckless abandon, "Blessed be the king who comes in the name of the Lord." Yet, Jesus signals a different kind of kingship as he rides through Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, a sign itself of reconciliation and peace. He will not allow the crowd to define his kingship. Just as earlier, following the feeding of a 5,000-strong crowd, he frustrated their plan to take him by force and make him their king. This he could not and would not allow. So he withdrew to the mountain to be alone. Despite this, the very core of his message focuses on the coming of the kingdom of God. According to Mark's gospel, Jesus begins his public ministry by stating that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. His is a ministry which is permeated by the two themes of kingdom and kingship, which makes our gospel reading, his interrogation by Pilate, not only understandable but predictable. "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate asks Jesus. "Are you intent on stirring up trouble? Are you going to challenge the authority and power of the Roman emperor? Are you a threat to the state?" Jesus answers with a counter question. "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" It's almost as if Pilate himself is the one being interrogated and on trial. Pilate seeks clarification. What have you done? The answer Jesus gives is tangential, but does address Pilate's main concern. My kingdom, Jesus says, is not from this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Judeans. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate is confused, perhaps blinkered, for when he hears the word kingdom, his political antennae quiver and he interposes, "So you are a king?" Pilate is so wedded to his own definition of kingship, and let's be fair, the generally accepted notion of kingship, that he is deaf to what Jesus is saying. This ruler, this Christ, is sovereign not of a specific place, nor of a specific race, but of truth. This truth is not simply a proposition to which you and I may or may not give assent. It is the very gospel to which Christ's life bears witness, a truth to which you and I belong. We share Pilate's question today. So, you are a king? When we pray for the coming of a kingdom, what kind of kingdom are we praying for? Will we allow our stereotype of kingship to define who Christ is? Our gospel for today presents us with a paradigm shift. Our King is revealed in humility, in self-emptying, and in service to others. In the book of Celtic Daily Prayer, a centuries-old collection of offices or services to be recited during the day, there is this simple but profound exchange. Question: what are the only human-made things in heaven? Answer: the wounds in the hands, feet, and side of Christ. Jesus is the servant king with scars. The problem for us is not proclaiming Christ's kingship. Rather, the problem is living as if we believe that Christ is king, that our allegiance to him transcends every other allegiance or commitment or connection. In praying the words, "Thy kingdom come," do we really mean it? How many of us, myself included, confess with our lips but deny with our lives that Christ is king? I need to be honest with myself, just as we need to be honest as a nation. Earlier this month, during an interview at Great Yarmouth Minster, Archbishop Justin Welby argued that there was no necessary defeatism, no necessary outcome to either staying in Europe or leaving. The big problems in our society of inequality, of unfairness, of the abandonment of an understanding of a moral and ethical framework which helps us to choose how to treat people, that is the thing that will decide our future. Again, do we confess with our lips, but deny with our lives, that Christ is king? Centuries ago in France, a saint called Martin sat in his prison cell. There was a knock at the door, and a mysterious figure stood before him. Martin, unable to recognize who it was, asked, "Tell me who you are." The answer came back, "I am your Saviour." Martin was not convinced and so asked a second question. "Where then are the prints of the nails?" Immediately,
the shadowy visitor vanished. There can be no Saviour without the prints of the nails, the prints of hunger, thirst, nakedness, imprisonment, and unwantedness. In building a kingdom that proclaims Christ as King, we seek out that same Christ in those who live on the margins of our communities. But it is not a conscious seeking out. Rather, in living our lives for others, we do it without thinking. By reason of our baptism, it should be second nature. Is it for me? Is it for you? Amen.